Testing. Testing. Echo, echo, echo. All right. So for those online right now, the lecture will not start to 14:50. The live streaming has started now, which means I might have some troubles with the booking, but I will try and deal with that. So in a sense, you guys might get confused because I'll be talking both to the ether and to you at the same time. Okay. Now the question was, I have to get to the screen. So you see here, you have something that's called Publisert Uptok. You go there. And so you could go in and say show all, or you can go in and say have lectures by Stuart Kowalski. So if you went here now, this was a lecture done in April 2016, so you don't have to worry now. This will show the date, my name, the title. And if you want, you can go. That's all the lectures that I've recorded. These courses have, won't be offered again. But you can go look, because a lot of the stuff we're talking today is actually from that course. I'm trying to condense some elements of that course down in 2 hours today. Clicker. So how many are usually here in the lecture? 10, 15? I made 15 coffees. As I say, for those that just came in, this lecture is recorded and being streamed at the same time, so everything you say can be used against you. And me, of course. The way it works in Norway is I wait with the lecture starts officially. If there's someone who objects to this, I will have to stop the streaming. But does anybody object? Or not yet? No? That should be recorded too. So speak now or forever hold your objections. Can someone log in to the, you saw the page, right? Can you see how it's looking if the slide is up? Okay. Okay. Anybody else have still wireless here? Check mine. 2 minutes. I want to make sure the slides are there. Let's see if the slide comes up, because it's supposed to be, it's a double channel, so see if the slide, yeah, no. Okay, so that's, but you don't see me now, or what? Okay, you see both, okay, great. All right, thank you. My name is Professor Stuart Kowalski, and tell me please if I get out of the image here. Where exactly when I start leaving the? Okay. There. Okay. Setting boundaries is a very important part of information security management. One of the first things you have to do is understand the system that you are managing. I will write my name on the board. Stuart.Kowalski@ntnu.no. This lecture is Bernard has described it as being a teaser. I don't quite understand the English. The idea behind this lecture is that I teach advanced courses in information security management. This is your first course in information security management. We have different tracks within the program. There's a forensics track, there's a technology track, and there's a management track. At the end of your first term, you have to start deciding on some of the tracks because it depends what course he's going to take. This will give you some indication of what the management track is about, and I will teach you, give you some examples of what social technical modeling is. In Blackboard, you have a sheet called Introduction. The course consists of 8 teaching weeks. Has everybody seen this document? It's really tough because right now I'm looking at the, when I was looking at the blackboard, it was kind of, for me, it was just a plain flat structure. So I just saw this later on. Okay. In that, you have the plan for this lecture is that understand and tease for advanced management courses. I'm not going to be talking about security economics. I'm going to talk about a course called Social Technical Systems Enabled Crime. One of the reasons you are here is because there are people that do criminal acts. Okay? Many people don't understand it. They think it's fun doing programming all this, but the real reason is that there are bad people out there. It's not just about technology, it's how we manage bad people and also how we manage good people. Also in that text, I noticed an error. He said that for this lecture you should be looking at chapter 2, but that was in the third or fourth edition. If you're buying the new edition, this is the fifth edition. It's chapter 3. Chapter 2 is ethics and laws. All right. And please interrupt me anytime you want. Ask a question. I like interactive teaching. This is the course I'm promoting in a sense. It's called Social Technical System Enabled Crime. We get back to later on what this is about, but I give you an idea what social technical modeling is about in particular and what security management is in general. The course, as I mentioned before, is being recorded. There's a web link called forlessing.hig.no, the forlessing. And you go in there and you have to click on the different ones. It's being recorded and it's being streamed. There's a bit of problems with the timing now, because the streaming, I just booked for 45 minutes, so we might have to take a break in half an hour because that's been pre-booked and I don't want to change something. Second rule of security management, do not touch working systems. So I don't want to touch this now. We take a break and we see how that is managed. The outline for today is I'm going to talk about why do we model. The course structure is set up to some extent in the first and second terms. You're learning about modeling and measuring information security. And in the final courses, you learn about managing it. You should go through that process. One of the problems we have in management is we are managing things we don't know have good measurements for. And one of the reasons we don't have good enough measurements is that we haven't modeled it appropriately. I won't use the word correctly. I said appropriately. And that's important in a sense when we start talking about what modeling is. I'm going to have you work a bit here. I'm going to get you to do some social technical modeling of yourself. And then we will go on and do some group exercises. And then we have a lab 2 exercise, which is actually lab 3 from another course. I have the papers here. I put it online in the Blackboard. It's an exercise we did in the course before. It's a social technical analysis of an actual incident and how you do root cause analysis. And then I go on and give you some cases and concrete examples of how we use social technical modeling in one case, excuse me, Pirate Bay, and another case, Edward Snowden. Gives examples of that. As I say, we've got a bit of a problem here. We're going to have these group discussions on the 1645, since that's when the first session goes out. As you can see, I booked the session for 15 minutes, starting at 2. And then I booked it from 7:10 for 50 minutes. So that's why we have to sort of break. Sorry, I made a mistake. All right. The material for this lecture I'll put into Blackboard under a folder called Lecture 2016-09-05. All right. So my slide package that I'm presenting today, some background information, it's under that folder. And if you can't, during the break, you can go look at, see if it's there. But you can open up the slides now if you want to, for those that are online. One of the things going back to this slide is that at 16:45, those online, they will have a chance to Skype me and ask some questions. Okay. So that's why I have to take a bit of a break. You had some pre-reading for this lecture. You had 2 articles that I published. This is not really to check you, but it's just to get some benchmarking here. So can anybody tell me what a SIEM is? Yes. Management system, yes. So Security Incident Event Management System. In publication number 2, I outline a social technical model of a security incident event management system. That was required reading before this. I know the situation, but it's important that you, in the future, keep ahead of the reading. I scanned chapter 1 before, and you have at least 100 definitions that they want you to remember, which is, pedagogically, the idea is to put those into context, right? So we're going to be putting some of those things into context. Open source social, the article that you're supposed to read talked about doing something with open source security incident event management systems. And then the other article talked about software supply chain management. And open source and supply chain are connected together. This is a publication in IEEE. And basically, interesting enough, it's work I did about 20 years ago for the Swedish Armed Forces. And I'm publishing it today. And how you model software supply chain using a social technical approach. One of the things you're going to see is this term model, how it's used in the community, it's used by me, used by other individuals. It's used in the textbook. How can you model it? Why do we model using social technical systems? And not just saying, well, we have a social system and we have a technical system. You'll see later on the advantages of modeling social technically, and hopefully during the break, when you look and discuss the lab where we do a root cause analysis of a social technical incident. And we have a certain way of reporting that. So in the future, pre-reading is very important for different reasons. One is to to prepare you to ask questions. As I say, reading out loud to you PowerPoints is not exactly education. It's good for bedtime stories. And of course, that's what I'm saying, bedtime stories. I fall asleep and you fall asleep reading bedtime stories. So me reading PowerPoint slides is bedtime stories. And me asking you questions where you don't know the answer is embarrassing for both parties. And I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to educate you, right? So, and that's why I said what a sim is. You're going to see, especially in the first chapter, I read it, and the second chapter, and even part of the third chapter, there's a lot of terms that you're going to have to know just to have a conversation. Okay, what is a social technical approach? When you're designing any system, well, this is system design and managing any system, you have different design approaches. In 1950, when Britain came out of the Second World War, they had crisis, and they were trying to use, but they had won the war. And one reason they had won the war is, to some extent, the holistic social technical approach. So they figured, okay, now that we've won the war, how can we win the peace? And they use this approach to look at the coal mining industry, because they have this huge problem in the coal mining industry. There were many strikes, etc. They're trying to figure out. Now, one of the differences when you're doing system analysis, regardless of the system, is you can start off looking at the management system, which is usually called a Tayloristic approach, or you can start looking at the work system. What is work? What is security work? You want to be a manager, you should be managing some sort of work. So what you do in social technical systems analysis is you look at the work system first. Then you look at the management system. Most security systems you will see out there today are designed from the management system. They're trying to provide information to the managers. Managers don't work. If you want to get good security, you have to involve different organizations. Now, in the textbook, they said you have to involve three different ones. Does anybody remember those three? It was kind of a strange way of defining it. Anybody? The IT professionals, the IT security professionals, the IT professionals, and the rest of the organization. Those are the three that they said, right? Now, they put it, they didn't say they ranked the order, but my experience is that you start off by modeling the problem from the rest of the organization first and work backwards. They start off the chapter complaining about not getting consensus. That's why this approach is called security by consensus. It's very important as a manager to understand work. The difference between an administrator and a manager is a manager manages work. Administrator manages paper. Anyway, so this is the approach. It's historical. You can go in and see it. It's usually used in the information systems analysis field. Right now, you're taking information technology, in a sense. But information systems is a different field. Because what is information security about? Protecting the information asset. It's not called computer security management. It's called information security management. There are different approaches to this problem. This is one way of looking at it. Is that in computer systems, we often talk about the stack. If you're working with protocols, you work with a stack. And this, I'll give an example of a stack, is that you have a computer, above that you have the network, you have the operating systems, you have the applications, you have the process, and the organization. In this course, the whole course that you're taking, you're having some people looking at computer security. You're taking something about network security. You're looking at different parts of the operating system security. So this is what you're studying here, and this is this application and operating system, that's software engineering. If you're looking at the stack from organization down to the, down to here, that is social technical system engineering. So when you're thinking about this, the problem of security, think about the stack. And you're here in the stack. And you're managing, you're looking at this part of the stack to manage this part of the stack. This is more, this is a bit of an abstract level, but this is even more abstract. This is from 1977, and when we're looking at social systems, and how do you simplify what a social system is? There are many what we call observables in a social system, but one thing we have, of course, is people. The other thing we have in a social system is some form of structure. Now, structure is both concrete and abstract. But in reality, structure has to do with power, power relationships. Then you have technology and tasks. So this is the way they used to look at social technical modeling in terms of this four elements. What this diagram is saying about all these fancy arrows is that people affect technology and technology affects people. People affect their task and tasks affect their people. The structure is affected by the task, etc., etc. So we have a many-to-many situation here about different things that are affecting a computer system, an information system, a cyber system. This is the social technical approach. It's starting from the top and looking at the system in that perspective. As I say, modeling is a strange concept, and most of the teachers here and other colleagues know I always talk about the three M's, and I say first you have to model the system, then you have to have a way of measuring the system, and then you can manage the system. 9 times out of 10, we start off with a manager that tries to find a measurement, and then he tries to put that measurement into a model. And then he's surprised where the rest of the world doesn't have the same model. If we take it from a high level, what do we have to model as security managers? We have to manage good things and bad things. Let's keep it simple. That's what KISS stands for. If something is good in security on a simple level, if we look at people, etc., it's because of you, because of me, because of the system. If something's bad, it's because of you, it's because of me, it's because of the system. Simple three process model. So right now what we're saying is that you have a security system, there's a social part of it, there's a technical part of it, and there's some sort of social technical part of it. This is where technology meets the people. And this is what we're modeling now. What we're actually modeling, what we're trying to control, and this is not mentioned enough to some extent in this book, is risk. Security management is all about trying to identify the risk. So this is a definition from Basel Committee on operational risk, the risk of loss resulting from inadequate or failed internal processes. You saw that before. People and systems, or from external events. It arises after an IT system has been developed and become operational as opposed to development security. So as a security manager, you want to maintain a given level of operational risk. And this is a short teaching exercise here. And in order for me to understand the people side of it, I have to figure out why you guys are here. It's a nice sunny day in Jøvik. So, are you here, and this is on a like it scale, this experience, talk to the person, like, are you here to learn to do something, learn to think about something, learn to get the credits, and get the out of here? You have 2 minutes to discuss it. And I don't have to listen, so the other one's going to turn off the mic so that people outside can't listen to you. This is something that we're going to do a lot in this class. Going to have you discussing. Now I give you why. You can discuss this in the break too. So now we just look forward here. Why is this important to figure out? I ask you a question now, and it's not. This is a riddle. And there's no. And most of the times, the students in this class don't get. But why do cars have brakes? And the answer is, rhetorically, I give the answer, is so they can go faster. Why do racing car drivers wear helmets? So they could drive faster. What you have to figure out is whether security is an end or security is a means. And all depends on your value system. Some people value security for security's sake. They like control. Most of the people that I deal with in business, risk is good. That's how you make money. Right? The racing car drives. So, you know, why do cars have brakes? So they can drive faster. Why do Italian taxi drivers have brakes? as a backup just in case the horn doesn't work. You have to understand the value of the security to the person you're talking to. I have to understand the value of education to the people I'm talking to, right? The first thing I want to do is build up, and I won't do this now, is an understanding of how you the mental model of the people here. So here now, if we have a scale 1 to 5, we went out, we take an anonymous survey, and you have to ask, I'm here to learn to do something, I'm here to learn to think something, right? And there were 3 people that answered that. So say there's 2 people that answer that. You would get a distribution like this. And say there was 1 person here that just wants to get the credit and get the heck out of here. I mean, I've been studying for 5 years. I got to make some money in here. I mean, I haven't been able to pay off my student debts. Most of you might have a hard time paying off your student debts. Just realize how much money you're losing by being here. Right? Especially in Norway, the return on education is minimal. My son's an electrician here in Norway. I'm sure he's making a lot more than many of you here now. It would take at least 5 to 10 years to make the same level that my son, the electrician, is making. So if you're here to make money, I understand that. There's no problem. But I need to know that. And when you're a security manager, you need to understand the value system. You need to be able to measure the value system. Does the corporation see security as an ends, or does it see it as a means? So that's the first thing in terms of management now. Now, how do you model this? So this is one of the ways you can model values about security. So do we need security as an end, or do we want security as a means? Now, there's no 100% answer. That's what this is trying to indicate. It's a Likert scale. So these values, some cases you have the people that are pure gamblers. They see it as that. In other cases, not. It's human systems are distributed systems of value, and they are probabilistic systems, not deterministic systems. You have a certain distribution of probability about how people value things. And you have to decide how you're going to manipulate this curve. Do you want to change it? Do you want to get this person out? Do you have to decide that? That's part of the management. Now, the other way of modeling this one is simple, is that you have abstract values, you have abstract needs, and you have concrete needs in your living system. So when you're modeling a person, a system, any living system, any social technical system, you have a living system, you have an abstract system, and you have a concrete system. And we're going to be going through this model again. So for example now, me. I have an abstract and living system. We have the concrete system here. We have an abstract system of value. This concrete system, could this be, if we lined you guys up concretely, you would actually make a normal curve in a sense in terms of height. So physically, there is a distribution. We have that biologically. You are distributed in different physical characteristics. You also have a bit of a distribution when it comes to values. Not all of you think the same by definition. So that's an example about modeling. It's a visual model trying to say that there are a living system, and in that living system they have abstract and concrete. And how can we measure and model those? So myself, we won't get into it. This is a joke in a sense, but I'm a Christian, Catholic, socialist, existentialist, system security, artificial scientist. This is not a course in religion, so we won't talk about that. This is not a course in economics, not a course in philosophy. This is about system security and artificial science. As I say, my background's a bit, I come from Canada, I've worked in Sweden and Norway, and I have Ukrainian background. Myself, I've worked about 30 years in this field, and I've worked for about 10 different companies, stretching all the way from Banque Nationale de Paris to Digital to Telia to Ericsson to a company called Huawei, Chinese. At the same time, I've been to about 10 different universities. This is my, I haven't put NTNU in here yet, but I've been to 10 different universities. And I've seen these different systems. And just a quick one here. What is the difference when you work in industry and academia? And I don't know how many here are tending to go on in the system, but I think I can notice that many of you want to just, not just, but you want to get your degrees and go out and work. You don't want to go on to your doctorates, maybe later on, but you see after this. One of the differences, if you're working with security in industry, you're given very complex problems and you have to give simple solutions. So that's me in Lahore, Pakistan as a security manager. I was the global manager for Ericsson Services. That's me right there. In 2008, I'm trying to set up the telecom security policy for Pakistan. And I was given 40 hours to do that. Which was okay in a sense, since, you know, I had a bodyguard and, you know, the Marriott blew up and all these type of things. So I was happy that I only had 40 hours. I don't mind that. But that was, I had to produce a document that did the telecom security policy for Pakistan. But in industry, but in universities, we can deal with simple problems, but we allowed and actually expected to give complex solutions. So I'm going to make things a bit more complex than you used to now, even but I'm asking a simple question. How do you model security management the best way? How do you model good people, and how do you model bad people? How do you measure it? How do you measure if someone's good enough?